Well, I talked to you here some time ago in regard to a verse here in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, and mentioned to you that at the fall of man, man got something that he previously did not have. He got a conscience to know evil, to know good and evil. And it says in the seventh verse of that third chapter that result of an enlightened conscience or an awakened conscience caused him to see himself. It says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized something, seen something that they had not seen prior to this. It says that they knew that they were naked. They found out something that they had not known prior to this. It had to do with their conscience. They knew evil, which they had not previously known because there was no evil to know. But now, because of their disobedience toward God, they have a conscience. And their conscience drove them to do something. Drove them to attempt to cover their nakedness. See that? And they knew that they were naked, and so there was something they had to do about it. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And all at once they heard the voice of the Lord God working in the walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did something there. They did something that they had not previously done. They did not do this before because they had now got something that they had not before. Now they ran from God. They hid from the presence of God. When prior to this, they welcomed God. They looked forward to the communion and fellowship that they had daily with God. They enjoyed His presence, enjoyed His fellowship. But now, the result of this conscience did something to them. Caused them to be afraid. Caused them to be a coward. They cowered out of them. They had an enlightened conscience as to who they were. Now, an enlightened conscience as to who we are, apart from divine faith of who He is, will never drive us to Him. Now, they had an enlightened conscience as to who they were, but not an enlightened conscience as to who He is. If you just have an enlightened conscience as to what you are, the effect of that, the end result will be that it'll make a coward out of a man, and instead of driving him to God, it'll drive him away from God. The essential ingredient that he needs is divine faith in who God is. He can find out who God is. Then this enlightened conscience will drive him to God rather than away from God. Well, this ninth verse tells us who God is. it tells us that he's a loving and kind and merciful and gentle Father, forgiving Father. In the last three words of the ninth verse, tells us that he's a gentle and kind and loving and forgiving Father. Where art thou? He came looking for Adam and Eve. That gives you some idea who God is. God came looking for them. Well, what I'm trying to say is this. Men, apart from divine faith, apart from the knowledge of who God is, will never come to God, but will hide from God. Our Lord Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he gave a full and free invitation to all. The invitation is not directed to one or two, or to one race, or to one creed, to one color, but the invitation by the Lord Jesus Christ is directed unto all men. He said, come unto me. That's the invitation. Look how full it is. Look how wide and open this invitation is. It embraces everybody. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. That's the invitation that's given unto all men. I will give you rest. But men will not come to Christ. They will not come to Christ. Though a lot of men know that they're wrong. I don't suppose there's anybody that doesn't know that they're wrong in their attitude and relationship toward God. They know that. They know that. They have a conscience now which they previously did not have. They got this through their first father, Adam. They inherited this along with everything else. But they've got that. They've got a conscience. And their conscience tells them that they are not in a right relationship with the God who made them. But still they will not come to God. Instead of coming to God, they run from God. Is that not right? They're like Adam. When he found out what his problem was, that he was naked, instead of his nakedness, instead of his condition, driving to God for mercy and for a hiding place, he went the opposite direction. First, he tried to remedy his condition himself with his own hands, his own works. He said, I'll get the needle and some thread here, and I'll get some fig leaves, and I'll sew me a girdle here. I'll sew me an apron. I'll sew me a coat, and that'll hide my nakedness. But that did not satisfy his conscience, because his conscience, as I've told you time and time again, demands perfection. And that wouldn't satisfy his conscience. So when God came and said, Adam, where art thou? He run and hid. He was hiding. He went in the opposite direction from God. And all men, irregardless of rank or station or creed or education or otherwise, all men run from God rather than to God. And why is this? When the invitation is throughout the pages of the Bible, come unto me and I will give you rest. Why is it that men will not come to Christ? They'll come to a ceremony, won't they? A man will come to a ceremony, but he won't come to Christ. A man will come to a program of religion, but he won't come to Christ. A man will come to a system of doctrine, but he won't come to Christ. Why? What hinders men from coming to Christ? Well, let me just mention a few things here that hinders men from coming to Christ. These men that are hiding from God. They're hiding from God. And if they're ever found, God will have to go where they are and seek them and ferret them out and bring them out from their false refuge and bring them into the land of enchantment and the land of peace. He'll have to do it because they're running from God. You remember the Apostle Paul? He was Saul of Tarsus then. He was a very religious man. He would embrace a system of religion and would die for his religion and would fight for his religion. As a matter of fact, he embraced the system of religion to the extent that if there was any opposition to his religion, he was for putting them in jail or killing them. There was he was on the road to Damascus with a paper in his hand, a list of names of some people down in Damascus who were, as the Bible refers to them, people of the way. And he was going down to stop them because they were in opposition to his religion. His religion was a religion of regulations and rules. And he said, "We got these people are against Moses." And he said, "We got to stop them." Well, you see, he wouldn't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He would embrace a system of doctrine. He would embrace a system of religion, but he would not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if he ever comes to the Lord Jesus must come where he is and tear down his refuge, his hiding place. Bring him out of his hiding place and bring him out into the open, into the land of peace. God must do that. And that's what happened. God came where he was. There he was, going down the road on that donkey, camel, I don't know, some sort of beast of burden. God, like a thunderbolt, struck him and knocked him off onto the ground, into the dust, whence he came. He cried out, "Lord, who art thou?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." He said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" God came where he was. You see, men will come to ceremonies, men will come to programs, men will come to a system of doctrine, and men will come to religion, but they won't come to Christ. And if they ever come to Christ, it'll be because Christ comes for them. Well, why will men not come to Christ? Well, first off is because every man's will is in bondage to sin. You remember in one place our Lord said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." You will. It's something that has to do with a man's will. Ye will not come. He said, "Whosoever will come, but ye will not come." He said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest. But ye will not come that you might have life." You see, the natural mind, you and I know these things, the natural mind is enmity against God, against God's holiness, against God's truth, and against God's grace. The natural mind, the carnal mind, is against these things. So his will is in bondage to sin, and he will not come. And secondly, he will not come because he loves the world. The Scriptures say that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. You see, to ask a man to love what he hates and to hate what he loves is to do what? Is to ask the impossible. He will not do it. He loves the world. He's got to be renewed. He's got to be changed. He's got to have a heart that's agreeable with the mind of God. And we'll get to that in just a minute. I want to talk to you about an honest heart. An honest heart. What an honest heart will do. All right, he'll not come to God. He'll not come to the Lord Jesus Christ because his will is in bondage to sin. He'll not come because of the love of the world. And he'll not come because, I've already mentioned this, the traditions of religion. Man is religious by nature, but he's not righteous by nature. He will invent a God to worship, if he can, and will bind himself to laws and to rules and to forms and to regulations, but he will not worship the God of grace nor seek the mercy of the God of grace. He will not do it. See? And fourthly, he will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's professions of faith. Men make professions of faith, and they have religious experiences. Someone said the best place to hide from God is in the church. That is, the best place to hide from God and from the gospel of redemption is in the church. That's where most men are hiding today. They're hiding in the church. They got their names on the book. They were taken in. You'd be surprised of how many churches are full of men and women who grew up in that church, who are the fruits of Daily Vacation Bible School. Now, I'm not criticizing Daily Vacation Bible School at all, but I do know that many churches, the design of their school is at the end of the 5 or 6 days of teaching that they might draw out professions of faith from these children. And they get 16, 15, 18, 20 professions of faith from these little children. And I'm not saying that all of them are not genuine, or all of them are false. There may be some that's genuine. I'm not saying that. I'm not setting in on judgment there. But for the most part, the churches are made up of these that have been taken that way. We slip up on their blind side and talk them into making a profession of faith. And that's wrong. I've run that road, and I've seen the result of it. Talking people into making a profession of faith. Talking people into saying, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these people are hiding now from God and hiding from the gospel of the redemption which is found in God's Son. They're hiding in the church. Hiding behind their what? Their little old 5 cent profession that they made when they're 10 years old or 8 years old or 12 years old or 5 years old. They're hiding. They're hiding. You see, you say something to them, they say, well, I know that I'm saved. Fred was telling me about a fellow this morning. He said, well, I know I'm saved. Fred said, how do you know you're saved? Well, he said, I made a profession years and years and years ago, and I remember the profession that I made. I remember how I wept all day and wept all night. See, what's he doing? He's trusting in that experience that he had 25 years ago. He's hiding in that refuge. Right there's where he is. And the sorry thing about it, this fellow really believes it so. He's satisfied. He's not concerned about how he stands today. He's concerned about what happened 25 years ago or 45 years ago. See? He always goes back to that bare place, to that bare spot, and he remembers the tears. See? Experience. He's hiding in his experience. And I've oftentimes said, and I believe I'm right in this thing, if a man has got to go back 25 years ago to find some evidence that he's saved, he's 25 years late. If he's got to go back to yesterday to find some evidence that he's God's child, he's a day too late. If he hadn't got it now, if he hadn't got the witness of the Spirit now, see, well, it's now. Who am I trusting now? Where am I hiding now? Well, you see, men will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ because of these professions of faith that they made. Why? Pat McGinnis told me one time, and he don't mind me saying this, he told me one time that he was hiding in the church, he was hiding in his good works, and he said that he just hoped, and he prayed the best he knew how that he could die if he was going to die. And when he died, he'd die right there in the church, hearing the Word of God, for fear that if he didn't die under this atmosphere of religion, that he'd die lost. Won't be right there. Ignorance. Well, this is the most humbling charge, I guess, that one can bring against today's religionist. But Jesus Christ said, ye neither know me or my Father. Paul said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You see, in our ignorance, now listen to this. In our ignorance, our wicked hands, these right here, on order or by authority from our wicked hearts, crucified the Lord of glory. Ignorance. You see what I'm talking about? Oh, my soul, men and brethren, this evening, what shall we do? We must come to Christ. That's all we can do. In true repentance and faith. But you said, preacher, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. That's true. What then can I do in light of this? You can cry mightily unto God. Who can tell? God may not turn us away. He may come where we are and do something for us. That's the only hope we've got, is in God. I know we won't come to God unless we're aided by divine power. We won't come to God. Where does that leave you? Well, that leaves you at the mercy of God. That's where it leaves you, at the mercy of God. You're at the mercy of His court. What can you do? You can beg Him to come and do something for you. That's all you can do. You see, He's not obligated to do it. God's not obligated to do this for you or do it for me. He's not obligated. He don't have to. He's not in debt to us. He's not our debtor. God doesn't have to do it. We're in His mercy. You see that, Darrell? We're in His mercy. He may come. He may come and do something for us. We can't do anything for ourselves. You say, well, I can do this. Well, all you're doing is being religious. Religious. You can reform. You can turn over a new page. You can quit this and you can quit that. You can determine to read your Bible. And you can determine that you're not going to do this and you're not going to do that. And you can make certain vows and certain oaths. And you can make professions. And you can say, I believe. And you can say, I'll be baptized. And you can be baptized. And you can join the church. And you can shake hands with every Christian in the church and say, brother, sister, pray for me. But you can die and go to hell in that state. Brother, that's not salvation. Salvation is in trusting wholly and solely your soul in the hands of a merciful God in Christ Jesus. Just trust in Him. Just trust in Him and Him alone. Nobody else, not yourself, not your church, not your religion. Just trusting in the Lord Jesus. Well, I told Mike, he asked me where I was going to. I had a text here, and I said, well, I'd try to find one in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. So turn with me. And let me tell you just to make a few statements here about an honest heart now. About a man who, well, this, I'll try to give you some evidence here of a man who has come to the Lord Jesus. In this 13th chapter, He talks about the sower. He said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. In verse number 2. Verse number 3. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. That's the birds in the air. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked. But others fell into good ground. That's a good heart. That's an honest heart. An honest heart. Some fell into good ground, or an honest heart. Brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and they said, well, we got ears to hear, but we don't understand what you're talking about. Said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, listen to this. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's the disciples. It's given unto you. The design and purpose of God from eternity past is that you might know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. That's a hard verse of Scripture, isn't it? It's not given. Who's on the talking here? This is the Lord Jesus Christ on the talking. And He said, it's my purpose and design that you might understand and know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but it's not the design or it's not the purpose that these others might understand. So he said, I'm speaking here in parables. All right, now look down in verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground, that's an honest heart. A man that has come to God knowing who he is himself, knowing that he's ruined and he's hopeless, knowing that he's a sinner against God, knowing that he's vile, and feeling the awful, awful heaviness of his guilt of sin against God. And he's come to God. And the reason he come to God is because God's come to him. God's come to him, and he's worked something in his heart, worked repentance in his heart, and he's come to God. This man has an honest heart. And I'll tell you this, a man who's come to God in the Lord Jesus Christ has an honest heart, and this man will approve. He'll give his whole consent. He'll put his stamp of authority and his stamp of approval upon being justified wholly for Jesus' sake, and not on account of his own works, whether his works are legal or whether his works are evangelical. But he'll wholly approve of being justified 100% for Jesus' sake. You see, an honest heart will rejoice in the way of salvation as soon as he understands it. An honest heart, he'll rejoice in it when he understands it. He may not understand it from the beginning. There's not many people like this fellow that I found over here in the book of Luke, the first chapter. There's not many like him. I've never run across many like him. Look what it says in the first chapter of the book of Luke here. I'll try to find it. And verse number 3. Listen to this. Chapter 1, verse number 3. Not many people like this. But there's some. What I'm saying here is an honest heart will rejoice in the way of salvation as soon as he understands it. God's got to make him understand it. And when he understands it, he will not buck and rebel and kick against it. He'll approve of it. I say there's not many like this fellow here that the Scriptures speak of in 1 and 3. It said, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first." Perfect understanding of all things right from the beginning. Not many like that. I certainly was not like that. I still don't understand a whole lot of things. There's more things that I don't know than what I do know. But what I do know, what I do understand, God made me to understand. And one thing I understand is the way of salvation. God has made me to understand the way of salvation, and I approve of it. I approve of it. And I believe in it. And I wholeheartedly back it. I'll tell you why. An honest heart will rejoice in the way of salvation as soon as he understands it, because it provides a way in which mercy can be exercised consistently with the righteousness of God. That is to say, I understand how God can be just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. I understand that God's justice and holiness is satisfied in a substitute. I understand that. God poured out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus. He had no sin. He was made sin in our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He, in his own body on the tree, bore our sins, our substitute, our redeemer, our representative. And he hath given me freely his righteousness. Now God can be just with me and forgive me and accept me on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my substitute and my redeemer. You see, a right spirit would revolt at the idea of receiving mercy in a way that would leave a blot upon the divine character of God. It's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, when an honest heart approves of how God saves sinners. An honest heart will approve of the salvation wrought in and by and through the blood, the sweat, the tears, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll say, salvation is of the Lord. An honest heart, a good heart. This seed that falls on good ground. Oh, may God be pleased to see that this, and I know most of us here Christians. Maybe we're all Christians, I don't know. Most of us are Christians here. Most of us have good hearts. You understand what I mean? Honest heart. A heart that God has done something for. God hath reached down where we were and implanted something there of Himself. And makes us agree with Him and disagree with ourselves. Makes us approve of what He's done and how He did it. Makes us glory in the Lord Jesus Christ as our blessed Redeemer. Good heart. I thank God to hear on a Sunday night, when it's zero outside and cars won't stop, and most people, almost, I'd say 98-99% of the people are more concerned about keeping their bodies warm tonight than they are to have their souls be warmed by the gospel of the Holy Spirit. Huh? More people are more concerned about that. And I'm thankful for you, blessed of God, that showed your faithfulness. That's the reason I believe you've got a good heart. But if there's some here, Maybe he's hiding in the church. Maybe he's hiding in his profession. Maybe he's hiding in his religion. Maybe he's hiding in his doctrine. May it please God the Holy Spirit to come where he is and take stick, take sword, and break his refuge. Break it. Break this that he's hiding in and expose him. That he might come out, be led out into the land of peace. May God help us. Well, the Lord bless us.